I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
I believe that they are where the Denver Broncos were last year to a certain extent. People were not expecting Denver to rise up. In the end, they had a better season than people expected, won more games than people expected, went to the playoffs. I kind of feel the same way about this New England team. I'm not going to be surprised if they win more games than expected, and I'm not going to be surprised if they wind up going to the playoffs as a wildcard team. Just calling it right now.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons live here at Fenway Park in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios, where football talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You heard Adam Schefter there, optimistic. So this is 2 days in a row. We talked to Mark Schlereth, optimistic. Take the over on the 8.5 wins. We talked to our guy Brian Hoyer. He said somewhere between 8 and 11 wins. And Adam Schefter is talking about the playoffs for your New England Patriots.
By the way, that Hoyer thing, the midday guys were giving us some guff for not putting...
Oh, screw you, midday guys.
Midday.
Guys.
Yep. The mid-afternoon, late morning, early afternoon guys.
Where were they?
What's their problem?
They were saying like 8 to 11 feels like too big.
It is a big gap.
Eight is a losing season still, but as we've said here, you and I switched from 10 wins to 8 wins. That still represents turnaround and positivity with competence in tow. But 8 to 11 is like, well, we're doing pretty good.
It is,
like
11 wins. Like, we're being honest. He middled it as about as good as you could right there.
He did.
Yeah. He went from acceptably good season to great season. That's his
to contending for the AFC. Yeah,
and one's a playoff team and one's not.
Yeah. He spanned the 8.5. In Vegas, he didn't make a bet. He took the under and the over,
right.
And Jones, the high over.
Jones and Keefe were like, "Oh, what did they say back to him on that one?" Oh, good call, Brian.
Are those two the toughest guys they know?
Oh, tough talkers.
Yeah. And they wonder why no one wants to talk to them.
Denver Broncos.
Is this a war? Are we starting a border war with the midday show?
I'm just saying.
All right.
There are the Denver Broncos last year. He compares them to the Denver Broncos. They were 10-7.
Yeah.
They started off 0-2. They ended up winning 10 games last year, and that was, I mean, so in the over-under for the Patriots from Vegas is, what, 8.5 right now? So a lot of people think they're a 9-win, 10-win team.
The Denver Broncos, Ted, consistently from just reading every aggregate, Super Bowl pick, playoff picks, fantasy drafts, everything I can just glean info as to how fans feel about them. Denver's defense, consistently number one ranked in the NFL by everybody. First defense off the board. Everybody thinks they are going to be elite. And if Bo Nix takes a step up, if R.J. Harvey is good, if Cortland Sutton is healthy, Denver
if
could be...
If my aunt had wheels.
All right. Someone else is making a point, you weenie.
But
they should be in a... Could you not see them being like a solid wild card AFC West contending 11-win team?
Oh. I could also see them, not to play the role of Brian Hoyer, I could see them being a 6 or 7-win team.
Denver?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
I'm not a Bo Nix fan, and I think...
Right. You know what his numbers are from last year?
Beer bet.
Bo Nix's numbers.
Good. I don't know him
29 touchdowns.
Head.
12 interceptions.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, 3,700 yards.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, 66 completion percentage.
We'll see. Haven't you learned that I'm usually right and you have to apologize to me later?
No.
It's the opposite, quite honestly.
Yeah. No, Ted, right now, if I told you, ready?
Delusional, man.
Ted, like, wham, it's January 2026. I am from the future. Drake May, 3,700 yards, 29 touchdowns, 12
You'd
picks.
You'd take it all day.
Wouldn't you be like,
you
hell of a season,
more
bro?
More than take it, I'd give you my O face. Holy Moses, that would be tremendous.
That got oddly sexual for everyone.
And you think Bo Nix is going to take a step back?
I am always a little hesitant, A, with guys that I have doubts about. And then everything went really well for him last year. It didn't feel very adverse conditions. And he's got a good coach, so that may prevent
adverse conditions from creeping into his world.
He's the new Drew Brees for Sean Payton.
Yeah, and Sean Payton and Drew Brees every year won 9 games. They were the most overrated duo in NFL history.
They got one Super Bowl.
They got a Super Bowl. Were they often in the conversation?
They were better at putting up offensive numbers than they were winning football games.
Wow.
And I wonder if that could be
part. A lot of tough talk to a couple of guys that could be seeing Canton.
I'm just saying it's
now they have a better receiving room. They have RJ Harvey, who a lot of people think can replicate what Kamara did.
Great.
Very, very fast guy. And inarguably, or at least by the consensus of most people, who I'm sure you're going to tell me in 3 seconds don't know squat.
Probably.
Have a super good defense.
No, I think they have a good defense. They also have a tough division. I've seen a lot of projections for that division where there's a lot of like bunched up numbers where everybody's going to be between like 9-10 or 9-11.
Personally, I'm high on the Chargers.
All bunched up there that could be some sort of a multiple playoff type team. But getting back to the Patriots and the optimism that we're getting from national guests more than local guests. The news of the day is Roman Anthony and him going on the IL with a soft tissue injury. The second biggest story of the day, in my opinion, is another soft tissue injury down the road, 95, at Gillette Stadium. Mike Vrabel, it was the topic du jour in his big Wednesday press conference. So let's get a little snippet of Mike Vrabel being asked about Christian Gonzalez and this hamstring injury that just won't go away.
Well, every player, I don't use percentages. But again, I'll remind you what we talked about as far as when I try to make decisions about players and returning. One, can they make it worse? One, can they, two, protect themselves? We can all say what we want about this game, but, you know, I mean, it's violent. And can you protect yourself? And can you do your job up to the standard that we expect and that the player is used to? So those are the things that I've tried to use when making decisions. Maybe I'll add some to that, but that's what I've tried to use in my other experience in this position.
Mike, the initial reports, and I know they didn't come from you, but the initial reports.
Yeah, I mean, please, guys. I mean, we have, this is the first Wednesday of the season, and he's not going to be at practice. And just please use your time as efficiently as we can about our team, about the Raiders. And I know Christian is a large part of our team, but he's not going to be out there today. So that's all I can update you.
Perturbed? Annoyed? What is the word we're going to use for
necessary?
Mike Vrabel?
That is right there.
Setting the tone.
I'm going to call that Salt Vrabel.
Please use your time as efficiently as we can.
Is he chastising the media?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Please use your time efficiently.
Yeah.
You want to pull the pencil out from behind your ear and say to sit up and respect the process?
That's his stern way of kind of putting them in their place a little bit.
A little bit. Now, it wasn't all the way straight Bill. Like, you know, do we have any questions about the Raiders? Otherwise, I'm out of here. That's how Bill handled it sometimes. Right. But he was telling them, we're done here with the Gonzalez talk. I will say, the one thing that stood out to me was not the ovation that's happening on Lansdowne Street at our studios.
Was that Roman Anthony?
I don't know. Somebody ran down. They got a big cheer. The one thing is, he was asked about IR, and he didn't shoot it down. He didn't shoot down totally the idea of him going on IR, which would be a weird situation in line with all the other weird situations that have happened sort of post roster cut down, cuts, moves.
A hamstring tweak supposedly 5 weeks ago, and he might go on IR?
Maybe it wasn't a tweak. Maybe it was more than a tweak. Maybe he had a setback. We don't have a lot of information to go by here. We need more rats, honestly. We can't shut the rats up. We need the rats to talk a little bit more, because a hamstring could have been a tweak, and then we treated it like a tweak, and then he tried to come back, and it's a little more than a tweak now. Right, Ted?
That's right. No, it's right. I mean, bad hamstring pulls can be out for, you know, up to 2 months.
Yes.
So it's the time frame I'm not that worried about. I guess I'm just what I get the sense is that Mike's just not happy with the player. There isn't any injury more than the soft tissue tear that a coach really gets the most frustrated with, because that is a injury that a lot of coaches think that the player could have avoided.
Oh, okay.
And avoided by taking better care of themselves. So it's soft tissue stuff, hip flexors, hamstrings. If you tear it, they think you were not prepared from a health standpoint for the season. And so they kind of put the blame on the player. And if the player's taking a long time to get back from said injury, then that just adds to the frustration.
There could be stretching, could be hydration, could be a number of issues. This is now starting to lead towards, I had been like, keeping this at an emotional Heisman's distance, this whole notion of like, well, maybe Gonzo is being extra careful because he wants to get through this year healthy, or healthy enough because he knows there's $150 million plus ahead.
Wait, you've disregarded that, or is that
still on the table? No, I said I've been keeping it at emotional Heisman's arm length. Like, I don't know how I feel about that.
That's a possibility.
I am now telling it like, you can't stay for dinner, but come through the front door. Like, I'm starting to buy into this.
I mean, you know his history is, this kind of falls in line with what people were saying about him pre-draft.
Yep.
And part of the reason that maybe his draft stock fell is because of this exact situation that, I don't know, soft is maybe a tough word, but just hard to deal with when it comes to injuries, isn't maybe the toughest player.
Injury prone. Is that fair? That's more fair than soft.
But some people would say soft.
But
I think he did a lot to spell that as far as how he came up and tackled on his. A lot of people didn't think he would come up and want to hit, but
right.
He's shown that he's willing to do that.
He also played in 3.5 games his rookie year, and now we're talking about, I don't know. It's now looking like he's at least not going to play in 17 in his third year, right? He's not going to play in week one, so the most he could play after that is 16 games.
Is he dragging his feet real quick? Andy, sorry. Is he dragging his feet because he's got a big payday coming?
That's a careful game to play, because if you have a big payday coming, but teams think you're not durable or you're soft or you're injury prone, whatever term they want to use inside their building, that could play into their value on you, right?
No, I don't think so.
Just shut that down really quick.
Not somebody his caliber, his age.
Soft, injury prone corners, give them $120 million.
Yep. They're willing to take the chance.
Too valuable.
Happen to them. Yeah.
Too valuable in this way. And I just, there's two layers here. There's the big picture layer, which we are already talking about. After this year, he could get the extension that Sauce Gardner got, that Garrett Wilson got, that these guys are getting after 3 years, $120 to $30 million with a boatload of it guaranteed. And I think that's fair discussion to have. But then there's just the here and the now. You got a game against the Raiders on Sunday, a game that I personally believe in a weird way could kind of decide their season. I think these games, Raiders, Steelers, some of these tweener games, because I think you're supposed to beat the Saints and you're supposed to beat the Titans. And I think you're supposed to lose to the Bills, right? So like, pull those to either end of the spectrum. If you beat the Raiders, that gives you a much better chance for Brian Hoyer to be on the high end of his spectrum. 10 wins, 11 wins. You lose these, I think you look back and kick yourself and said, damn it, if we could have won that close game against the Raiders on opening day, we might have been playing for a playoff spot in week 17 or week 18. And we're talking about the best player, most proven player too, right? Is there a
Gonzo?
Yeah.
I told you, I thought he was, if healthy and had a big season ahead of what would be that massive contract, I thought he could be a DPOY candidate.
No. But I'm talking about most proven in, I think I know what I'm going to get from him. I'm going to get high-level play.
I would say yes.
Other than maybe Hunter Henry.
That's a good one, Hunter Henry.
Like, those are other proven players.
Spillane, too.
Spillane, it's harder with a new guy, though. New coach, new scheme. Right. He's a 150 tackle guy.
But I get your overall point. Yes, you're right.
So he's your best player and most proven player. Yes. You kind of have an expectation level that should be one of the few safe bets on your team. Yep. And it does just feel like Vrabel is annoyed. And I don't know if he's annoyed at the questions, which they did go. I was listening to it live. They might have gone seven questions about Gonzalez. Like, they were starting to build up. Or is he annoyed that
it's both?
He has to answer the questions because he's not playing.
Yep.
That's what I'd be annoyed at.
He's annoyed at the fact he's not playing, he's not maybe on track for playing. And then he's got to answer questions about something he's already frustrated about in a frustrating manner. So it's all of it compounded into one.
Yeah, I think this is we say it a lot, sneaky big story for this football team. Week one. Well, Christian Gonzalez trending toward not playing. And a little update for the media, for the fans. Media relations director Stacey James, right before the press conference, let everybody know that their injury report, they won't get theirs from Vegas until 6:30 or 7 because they're on the West Coast. So that's also when we'll get the Patriots injury report. So we're not going to get the usual mid-show injury report. We're going to have to wait till after our show during the Red Sox game tonight. Mm. You'll get an official status designation for Christian Gonzalez and everybody else who's practicing, not practicing, whatever. But unfortunately, we'll have to wait. We'll talk about that tomorrow, obviously react to some of that information. But I think this is a huge topic for the season, for the team, for where they want to go, for getting off on the right foot. We talked a lot about Mike Vrabel can put all these questions to rest with a win.
Boom.
And this hurts his chances of winning on Sunday.
I think Mike is so – I would be so focused on getting off to a good start. I just think this – in this media climate, the hype – I mean, there was a hype train for this team. There's a lot of expectations. People are very, very excited about this football team and what Mike can do. And Mike wants to prove that to everybody. So he wants to get off to a good start. And so if they get off to a bad start, you just sense in his voice, just the tonality of how he was been answering questions in the last week, that he's a little – feels like a little dejected.
Yep,
that absolutely. He was very excited, you know, just as of two, three weeks ago. But now that the tone has changed in his voice and it feels like maybe reality's setting in. So getting off to a good start is huge. And against opponents like the Raiders that are kind of toss-up games, the Patriots are favored. It's a road team, so you used to factor in 3 points, the home team. So
right.
The Patriots are, theoretically, they're favored by 2.5, but it's really a toss-up game.
Awesome, absolutely.
So these kind of toss-up games, to your point, are huge for the Patriots to win as much of these as they can if they want to have what is going to be deemed a successful season.
Is it down to 2.5?
2.5.
Ooh, it opened at 3.5. See?
Yeah, it's 2.5. It's a toss-up game, and there's a lot of similarities. You know, teams with new coaches trying to prove something. You know, big changes, big rookie running backs, you know, questions about the quarterback position. There's some similarities here. It's a big game. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to our buddy Justin in Washington. What's up, Justin?
Hey, gentlemen. I think this is either a positive call or a negative call, depending on how you view it. I think we're QB-driven. so, and please tell me where I'm wrong, where I'm right after I hang up. But I think we're a QB-driven league. And the Commanders really drove that home last year because their talent wasn't much better than the Patriots. Look at the Ron Rivera drafts. They were actually worse than the Bill Belichick drafts. I mean, you're picking Emmanuel Forbes over Christian Gonzalez, for goodness sakes. And the ESPN pulls this through. They project the Commanders to win 9 games this year and the Patriots to win 7.9 games. The difference I see is between how the Commanders coaching staff talked about Jaden Daniels last year and how Mike Vrabel and his coaching staff are talking about Drake May this year. Real quick, it's just Jaden Daniels, the one criticism they had of him was that he didn't know how to slide. It wasn't anything more than just he doesn't know how to slide and let's see how he adjusts to the speed of the game. With Drake May, the two biggest important parts of a quarterback's job is to protect the ball and not make negative plays. And those are the two things I'm consistently hearing from Vrabel and McDaniels are the biggest things that he needs to work on. So I think that this team probably wins 6 games because Vrabel is a very, very good coach. It's just that Drake May isn't there yet. And I'll end it on this with the last point. Mike Vrabel's answer on the Greg Hill show kind of touched upon this. He pretty much implied that they're in year one of a rebuild. If you believe you have your quarterback, you go out, you get Laremy Tunsil, Deebo Samuel, you spend some draft capital. If you don't believe you have your quarterback, you keep that draft capital so you can eventually trade it for another draft pick in 2027.
Thanks for the call, Justin. Good call. A lot that I agree with, except actually the last part. I think the examples he gave are what the Commanders did. They gave –
I would push back a little bit.
Jaden Daniels, Laremy Tunsil, and Deebo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels proved he was the man that could lead the team to a certain distance a year ago. Now you help him get over the top. Now you really surround him. You go all in. You make some deals that maybe long-term aren't great. Laremy Tunsil and Deebo aren't getting any younger. They're there for this year. Yep. They're there to get you past the NFC title game, get you to a Super Bowl. That's where I disagree. And the second thing is, Jaden Daniels had a unique path to the NFL. He had been in college longer. He had the transfer from Arizona State to LSU. He plays at a high level at LSU. He just had more experiences. And I will also say, I think he's special. I think Jaden Daniels as a leader
is
special.
No doubt.
Everything I've read and seen out of Washington is he's one of those, he walks in the room, he's the alpha in the room. He's the leader in the room. He doesn't have to prove he's a leader. Everybody just goes, hey, what do you want me to do, Jaden? I'm happy to do whatever you ask me to do because he just oozes it. And Drake doesn't have that yet. He just doesn't from what I've seen.
He does not. He's got to play better before he gets that confidence and he gets that gravitas that you hope all franchise quarterbacks get. But just to make his point, he talks about the Ron Rivera drafts and how the Commanders kind of remind him of this year's Patriots. I would push back a little bit other than to say this, that the Commanders last year 61% of their team was brand new. 61%. This year, the Patriots led the NFL as most turnover of any team from last year to this year at 50%. So the Commanders, they hit on a lot of their free agent acquisitions last year,
yep,
and in their draft, and that was why they were so successful. You hope that the same thing happens here, where the free agents that they signed this year will have the same impact that the free agents for the Commanders had on that team last year.
WEEI Afternoons, live in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 617-779-7937. It's game week for the Patriots. And Drake May, we were just talking about how good he is. Did you know that his odds to win the MVP award? Yes, the NFL MVP award are getting better. We'll react to that up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. The Red Sox won their third straight last night, taking the second of three games against the Cleveland Guardians at Fenway Park. The final was 11-7. Roman Anthony did leave the game in the fourth inning with what was described at the time as an oblique injury. Red Sox manager Alex Cora then confirmed with WEEI Afternoons that Anthony is headed to the injured list with an oblique strain. The estimated timetable for recovery and return is set for 4 to 6 weeks. Meanwhile, the Red Sox go for the sweep tonight. First pitch at 6:45. Brennan Bernardino will serve as the opener for tonight's game, and here is your lineup as Nate Eaton takes over as the leadoff hitter. He's at third. Alex Bregman is your DH with Trevor Story at short. Romy Gonzalez at first. Rob Refsnyder in right. Jaron Duran in left. Sadon Rafaela back in center with Nick Sogard at second base. And Connor Wong is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 5:45, and Will Fleming and Sean McDonough have the call of the game. Earlier today, Roman Anthony was named the AL Rookie of the Month for August. He hit .304 with six home runs and 118 plate appearances during the month. Also, Aroldis Chapman has been named the AL Reliever of the Month in 11 innings. He registered a 0 ERA and went 8-for-8 in save opportunities. The Patriots open up the 2025 season on Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Raiders. The game will be broadcast on CBS. Pats cornerback Christian Gonzalez was the lone player who did not practice today. His status for Sunday's game is still unknown. Also, Mike Reese of ESPN reports an anticipated practice squad transaction for the Pats and linebacker Darius Harris. Harris has been in the NFL since 2019 with the Chiefs, Raiders, and Cowboys, playing in 37 games with six starts. And finally, Daron Harmon, who won three Super Bowls in New England during his tenure from 2013 to 2019, announced his retirement from his professional playing career earlier today. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons Live at Fenway Park coming up right after this.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett & Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Yeah, it's been awesome to bond with such a high-level player. I think it's you continue to show it as the game, game week and game day comes closer and closer to kind of how much he's elevating his game and elevating his practice style. So I'm looking forward to being out there with him on Sunday, and I think you'll see good energy from Steph, and I'm looking forward to getting him the rock and let him do his thing.
Fourth wing t-shirt.
We've got people wearing horns now.
Wearing horns, photos.
You have no idea what it means?
There's giveaway. It's one of the, we've talked about a lot of special nights at Fenway. They seem to have a special giveaway night ticket. It's fourth wing night. It's a. It's fourth actually in your world. It's adult fantasy novel.
That is not my world.
That's not what Aren't Dick Enberg like, told me.
You know what? That was 35 years ago, probably.
You left out a big word. Adult fantasy romance novel.
Yeah, it's your world.
You didn't say romance.
About Ed Johnson at Big Neck and like romance novels. That's what he said.
I was in a stage of my life. I am not in that dabbled. Stage anymore. That was a long time ago. I'm
you
a
dabbled in college.
Now.
But I thought you used it as motivation for your play on the field. That's what Dick Enberg told me.
And I am not playing on the field anymore. So, okay. Yes, at that time, that was a stretch, Dick, to say that, though, that it inspired me to play football. But, yeah, at a certain time in my life, maybe I would have come to this event. But not now. Nope, I'm good.
A lot of people are.
Buzzing.
Wasn't sold out last night, but with these people
right.
in it, it might be sold out
here.
Tonight.
I thought you were going to answer back to Alex Cora, by the way, when he complimented the crowd last night. I thought you were about to go, well, actually, they broke the streak last night.
I didn't want to be the bearer of like bad news and details. Yeah. The devil.
The people that were here were into it. And I'm sure tonight most of these young ladies are very excited for Brennan Bernardino.
What he really likes to do is read romantic novels.
Hey.
But we're talking about Drake May. That was Drake May at his press conference down at Gillette Stadium. That was his first season opening on the franchise QB starter of the Patriots press conference. Talking about Steph Diggs. Excited that he's on the practice field. Excited to see him on the game field. And apparently there's some excitement surrounding Drake May in the gambling community. I often get these emails telling us how the numbers have updated or what's going on in the gambling world. And today's caught my eye because it was about NFL awards for the season and the odds for certain players, props. And it said, biggest riser for MVP is Jordan Love, which I understand.
Makes sense.
It's kind of tied to the Micah Parsons. There's a potential. They're going to bigger games, different level.
That rookie wide receiver.
Correct. So Jordan Love went from 25-1 to 14-1. So he's got nice odds for the MVP.
Wow.
The second biggest riser throughout the spring and summer and into the fall now for the MVP award is one Drake May. He went from 66-1 to 40-1.
What am I missing?
I don't know. Because we've talked about nothing but negativity surrounding Drake May. Steph Diggs didn't play in the preseason. Who's his other wide receivers? The O-line still kind of stinks. If they're going to win, they're just going to have to hand the ball off. I'm not sure handing the ball off helps you win an MVP award. I don't know. Just the buzz, I guess? The buzz around him? Or are Patriots fans betting a lot and they're dropping the odds to cover their asses in case Drake May somehow wins the MVP award? Like, I don't know. That's my mindset. Yes, Dan Ball, you got something?
Yeah, I feel like this kind of harkens back to your conversation yesterday about local media versus national media and their perception. Like, I was, I think you referenced it yesterday, Fitzy, that two of the hosts on Good Morning Football picked the Patriots to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people nationally, it's kind of become the in vogue thing to pick the Patriots
Adam Schefter
as one of your wild cards.
Cowherd, Sims, Schefter, this long running list.
And when people give their brief little 30-second soliloquy as to why, it's two names. It's Mike Vrabel and it's Drake May. So I think you have a lot of people nationally buying into, well, they have a new coach. They have this third overall quarterback. If they make the playoffs, that's more than doubling, almost tripling your wins. So this guy has to get some kind of consideration if he can will this team into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think if he's going to be an MVP candidate, let's play along with the narrative. Brian Hoyer might be wrong. It might not be 8-11. It's got to be like 11-12 or 13. To be an MVP quarterback candidate, you have to be in one of the best teams. It's Josh Allen. It's Lamar Jackson. Like, Jaden Daniels didn't win the MVP. Sam Darnold, who led the Vikings, had a crazy year leading the Vikings to
13 wins. It depends how he looks
and
how they lose.
Okay.
But I see your point.
But it's like you tough need to not be amongst the best teams, Super Bowl favorites, and win an MVP.
How about like you need a really good to possibly elite offensive line? Buffalo had that last year. A good passing game, a great running game. James Cook last year was a touchdown machine. All those things need to be running in sync at the same time. I think Pats fans would be happy if it's, well, Drake looks clunky, but the running game looks good. Drake's having a day, but the line can't open up any holes. I can't see all three of those things synchronizing and having a really solid to elite season. Like, thinking that Drake May is going to throw for over 4,000 yards, pass for over 30 touchdowns, run for 8 or 10 with 600 yards, that we are talking best case scenario.
Yeah, he has to be. Let's look at the recent winners, right? It's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, correct?
Yeah.
That's like the last
MVPs. And the last, all the teams that basically go consistently to the AFC Championship.
You have to be the best team in the AFC.
So Drake May not going to be in that conversation. Joe Burrow would be the example a year ago. Put up great numbers, right? He's throwing for all these yards.
9-8.
He's not an MVP candidate because he's 9-8. They got off to a slow start. So let's go back to Tom Brady in 2017. You have Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. Like, those are your – I was reading the wrong column, so I don't know what the second column
is. So where's Drake May rank as far as his place in
now you're gonna have
the odds?
Talk amongst yourselves.
You're,
for a
you're saying that he just his odds improved, but I'm curious.
He's still middle of the pack, but he made a huge.
Say.
He made like lower pack to middle of the upper middle.
From
pack.
When to when exactly? So what's the?
You got a lot of questions.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on the
ever
spot.
Ever hear Charlie Casserly? Don't ask me a question you didn't bring up in the production meeting.
Yeah, my bad. Where's Charlie? I miss
Charlie. NFL.
I don't know what would. It, to me, it's gone the other way. I feel like he hasn't gotten. I would think his odds would go down based on the information that we've received over the summer. That's just odd. That's kind of odd to me. But.
Yeah, I can't find it right now. But
I will say this.
Jesus, Dan Ball almost killed a man.
I was about to tell you that I did find the list for you. So he is still very much middle of the pack.
Yes.
I find this order a little bit odd. So I'll just give you the surrounding ones before him. Trevor Lawrence.
Real quick, just remind people exactly what it is we're looking at. What list?
These are the MVP odds in the NFL this season.
MVP
so,
odds.
You have Trevor Lawrence, Michael Penix, Kyler Murray, Bo Nix, Drake May. The two of those are tied. And then Tua Tagovailoa, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Rodgers, J.J. McCarthy, Geno, Bryce Young, and Ja'Marr Chase. Round out kind of the list of those around him. So to count really quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's at around like the 20th best odds to win the MVP. This
oh, season. So that's different than mine because I have 1, 2, 3, great radio, 4, 5, 6, 7, better radio, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have him at about 14th. He's tied with Dak Prescott, for example.
So that's, the maybe, same that's odds. The jump, that, maybe that's the jump up that you're seeing.
He's just behind Matthew Stafford. He's just he's tied with Jared Goff, who's the quarterback of a team that everybody thinks is supposed to be one of the best teams in football, a Super Bowl quarterback.
If he landed in the middle of the pack like they're predicting, that to me is a success.
Correct, and that's the bigger point is he's not going to ever win the MVP.
You don't have to win it, but just be the 14th guy in line to win it.
Right, and be in the same class as some of these proven 200, I mean, what does Dak Prescott make, like $60 million a year? He's got a ridiculous contract. If you're getting that kind of performance and stature out of Drake May in year two, then I think he's made the jump. Then I think Mike Vrabel, despite what Justin in Washington says, will be quite confident he has his quarterback. And you know what we're going to start talking about? Contracts and giving him, he's locking him up.
He's got to win. He's got to win. I mean, you see the talent, you see the possibilities, you see the ceiling, and you go, wow, this kid can be special. It just, I mean, Vrabel's, don't you think Vrabel's tenure here with the Patriots is tied into Drake May?
100%.
I would think that Elliot Wolf says too. I would think everybody over there right now, their entire careers with the Patriots are tied into how good Drake May becomes.
Certainly Elliot Wolf. That's pretty much all he's got at this point is I drafted Drake May. And if he's great, then I drafted Drake May. He'll put up posters. He'll run around naked and yell it. Speaking of running around naked, I have to go to the phone line. 617-779-7937. When it says Drunk Joe in the car is on the line, well, hell, you're going to get to talk. What's up, Drunk Joe?
Okay, first of all, I don't drink, okay? That's number one. Number two, I'm driving around this beautiful day. I got my window down, breeze coming in, my hair's going back. I'm drinking a sip of soda. And all of a sudden, I hear Drake May in the same conversation as MVP. What are we doing, people?
Are you out of your mind?
Are you out of your mind? Are these people out of their mind? I mean, I know I'm out of my mind, but this guy... Who's this guy from Washington or something that says that? Come on, you guys. Are we really going to talk about giving this kid already this type of MVP? Tell me, what did this guy do? No one loves the Patriots more than me. I'm going to tell you guys right now. Drake May, from what I heard, had a mediocre spring training. Did he not?
Yeah, definitely.
He showed some flashes here and there. Are we forgetting that the guy threw 17 interceptions last year? Are we forgetting that?
15, yes, but
yeah. He showed. All right, okay, 15, 17, 16, whatever you want to. Yes, he showed some flashes of being good. As far as being great, and now it all started MVP candidate. What are we doing, people?
All right, thanks for the call, Joe.
Love the passion, people.
Love the passion. Love the passion. First of all, he's automatically an MVP candidate because he's a quarterback of a football team. And that's how that award works. You're one of 32 that has a chance to win it.
And if you rode the hype train all offseason long, that moves you up into first class.
And I just, we're not saying he's going to win it, but it is interesting that the books, because everybody tells me, Mark Schlereth yesterday, what's the number? They know what they're doing with those numbers. They're smart. They know this. They jacked up his odds from 66 to 1 to 40 to 1.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's interesting where he ranks in
the four interceptions, whatever. We can dismiss all
in
that.
In the list of MVP candidates.
We're not saying he's winning it.
Yeah.
Well, not this year anyway. Some positive Patriots fans probably do dream that he's going to be an MVP. I heard Gronk and Edelman say he's not a top five quarterback just yet. And I was like, just yet? He's not even close to a top five quarterback. Maybe someday you can dream of that. But he's in the same breath, according to Vegas, as Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, and Dak Prescott.
That's a better way to put it.
So, yeah. Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl participant, and $60 million man for the Dallas Cowboys. Those are his comps. You know, the real estate world, right? They give you comps. Well, this house down the street's worth this and worth this. His neighborhood right now in MVP voting, pretty impressive, correct? For a second-year guy who, the caller's right, threw 15 interceptions and really kind of only won one game. And
not a million,
got banged
but a
up.
Lot.
So I that's all we're talking about, is that I sometimes get confused when a drop isn't Ted live. I was looking right at Ted, and I hear Ted in my ears, and I'm like, Ted's lips are not moving.
You yelled at me yesterday for that same thing. Like, I did not say what you think I just said.
Stiz is putting words in your mouth. 617-779-7937. The Patriots are also ranked in ESPN's forecast, and there's bold predictions. And they have a bold prediction for your $100 million free agent addition. And it's not a good bold prediction for Milton Williams. We're going to talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
There's more patient on it?
No, when you run it, same thing we were talking about, and you start going this way, he just goes like that too, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look where you look, so you're on.
Yeah, I come downhill.
You're 43.
Instead of go up to like the first down.
Hey, pop.
I ran more at the mic and just went, ugh. I should have seen the mic coming and then squared him up.
Shotgun snap is back. Woodridge steps up, throws it to the middle, and it's caught by Chisholm crossing right, and he hurdles into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
That was Drake May and Company from Forged in Foxborough, the Patriots propaganda documentary that they've been producing this summer.
What kind?
Propaganda.
Oh, Pat's propaganda.
I hold a grudge.
Old blog.
I told you, when episode one was all about pre-draft and Will Campbell and never mentioned his arm length once, I was out on the whole series. I'm not saying you have to, like, crap all over him because he has short arms, but you have to acknowledge that the story pre-draft about Will Campbell was his arm length. It was the biggest.
Didn't hear a lick about it.
It was not in there. They had all this audio and Will and people and experts and all talk and this and that and nothing, Ted Johnson, about his arm length. If you don't do that, then I can't take you seriously. You've lost my eyeballs, so. Sorry, I moved on.
That's everybody that's ever worked in Patriots media.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
I mean, you know.
Excuse me?
Not for eternity, but if you work for Patriots media, you know.
Water carriers down there.
You got to kind of take what they say with a grain of salt, all right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
See, this was the problem of my life for like 20 years. The team hated me because they thought I didn't carry the water enough. The outsiders hated me because they thought I carried the water too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's me on an island with Paul Perillo.
What was the truth?
And here you are at EEI spilling the water everywhere. Two to six.
No, we were very objective.
Yeah, I believe it.
I know
you guys.
We were very objective.
Yep. Paul can be very objective. And you can too. And
that didn't sound great. Backhand here. Whap.
There you were, right in the middle. The genius walking alone.
Paul and I putting sunscreen on each other on a deserted island somewhere.
Whoa.
Okay.
Terrible. Anyway, speaking of whoa, I read something on ESPN
this
morning that I didn't like.
No, he did.
So Milton Williams, just a refresher. He's the biggest contract in your free agent additions this offseason. $100 million. He's a former Eagle, wins a Super Bowl. That's great. But he's kind of a rotational player there. And there are some other guys around him that if he's worth $100 million, they're probably worth $150 or $200 million. But Milton Williams is a big part of the Patriots' offseason plans. And a bold prediction for 2025 for the New England Patriots on ESPN this morning. Free agent addition defensive tackle Milton Williams will finish outside the top 10 in pass rush win rate and have fewer than five sacks. At $26 million per year, the Patriots are expecting him to hit at least one of those marks, but I have some questions about how well Williams will fare when he has to play more and without Eagles defensive front around him.
What's that? What they spend that $104 million for?
To me, when you give somebody $100 million, like, you may not be the real Batman, but you're a Batman. Like, you're telling me you're a Robin? You're just kind of a second fiddle complimentary player for $100 million? $100 million doesn't go as far as it used to in the NFL, apparently.
Can he have enough of an impact on the other players around him? Do the edges get to the quarterback more because Milton Williams has to be accounted for? Does Christian Barmore get to the quarterback more because Milton Williams needs to be accounted for? Mm-hmm. These are the real questions that need to be asked, not just can Milton Williams be a star.
And that's my key, Ted. I don't really care who looks good, but the combo
where the
of
production
two,
comes from.
Right. But the combo of those two for $190 million between them, somebody better be look like they're a pain in the ass for the offensive line and the quarterback and the running backs and penetration and backfield and plays and tackles. All of those things better happen, right?
Yeah. They're defensive tackles that are paid like defensive ends.
Yeah.
So it is harder to get sacks inside the interior, you know, but Aaron Donald will be the guy that is kind of the defensive tackle that could still generate a tons of sacks from the defensive tackle position. Look, the Patriots had to overpay, if we're being honest, for Milton Williams because they have to, considering where the team is right now. So he's going to be overpaid. But those two guys, they are paid. Christian Barmore, Milton Williams are paid. They're the top two salaries, I think, on the team.
Yeah.
They gotta come through. I know it's Christian Barmore. Look, hopefully the blood clots don't come back because they can. But if he's healthy, my expectation is that he's gonna have his best year because he's paid like a guy that should have a career year. He has yet to really, I think, have a full year where you go, oh yeah, he's worth that money. He hasn't done that. He's had an 8-game stretch. But that's not enough for me to justify what he's making.
And I think we all realize we've watched enough football. We don't necessarily need 12 sacks, 15 sacks. Like, we can watch the game and say, wow, they're struggling to block Christian Barmore. Yeah. And that's affecting the
offense. Guys. They got to slide their line to him.
Right. And that
is kind of stuff. Opening game planning for him.
And Robert Spillane had 12 tackles today in part because those two guys in front of him were kicking ass and he was just running wherever the hell he wanted.
Or Harold Landry
like
was
Ted Johnson
on a tight end. Right?
Yes.
And he beats
and
a tight end because
perfect.
He had to slide the line to
like,
the other
I
guys.
Think we're smart enough. We've watched enough football, the Richard Seymours of the world, that he didn't put up gaudy numbers. And where did he end up? In the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he helped you win championships. And he helped be a foundational piece on some of the best defenses we've ever seen in these parts. And I'm not putting this defense on that level. And I'm not putting these guys on that level. But they need to be good. They need to be impactful. When Ted Johnson, next Tuesday, does his TED Talk at 3:30, breaking down Raiders versus Patriots, he sure as heck better be talking about Christian Barmore and Milton Williams and what they were doing and why that was a positive for the defense. If you're not, we got a problem. And it sounds like ESPN thinks more often than not, you might not be doing that, that they're not going to necessarily win at the rate that their contract would lead you.
And I think that part of the things they cited was that the fact he's only played, he hasn't even played, 50% of the snaps?
Never. 48, I believe, is his high.
So, and you're probably getting somewhere in a 75 to 82% range.
Yes.
Is where you're paying him to be. So that's a significant jump for a guy that plays that position.
So I will tell you, though, preseason game one, I did like that tackle he made out in space, Milton Williams. Like, that showed me athleticism. That showed me effort and motor and desire and some of the things that I think are going to be part of his game.
Do you know what I feel like in my brain I see this defense? The problems with defense is not getting off the field against the run. I have a feeling they're just undersized, that they're going to get run on, and that's going to tire them out, and then that's going to affect the pass rush. If you run on teams with success, they can't generate much of a pass rush.
Well, and on two levels for Milton Williams, he's never played more than 50% of the snaps. So you're going to be asking him to play more, which means you're more tired, you're more worn down. Now if teams are running at him and wearing him down in that way, what are you going to get out of him in the fourth quarter? What are you going to get out of him in week 4, week 6, week 8, as those things start to pile up?
Yep.
So wow, this is taking, we think the defense should be the strength of the team, and we think the defense should be good, and we've spent a large portion of this show talking about Christian Gonzalez and the concern that he's not going to be out there, what that means, he's not playing, and we've now just talked about Milton Williams maybe not living up to the $100 million contract and the expectations.
Sometimes there are pleasant surprises along the way. Robert Spillane is going to be somebody who's going to change the direction of this defense.
I hope so.
Or much better than worse.
617-779-7937 if you want to join in on the Patriots conversation. Up next, it is 5 o'clock. We're at Fenway Park. It's The Drive, which means we'll hear from Alex Cora and the big news day in regards to Roman Anthony and what the hell is going on with this baseball team. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning of Threatened Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.